Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 124. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to say thank you for tuning in with me this morning. I hope you all are staying warm, staying safe, and just getting ready for a fantastic weekend. Bob, I know we have you up here again this morning, so I want to say good morning to you, sir. How was your afternoon, evening?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. Another great day to be alive. Yeah, yesterday was cold, like we were talking, but today's a new day, and thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Absolutely. I do want to say good morning to some of the listeners we have out here. And I do want to thank you for tuning in consistently every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. So we have AC and Steve. Good morning, gentlemen. We have Johanna, Death and Bitcoin. I don't see Miss Penny out there. ITIOTI, Little Ban, Aaron, Rook, Taggart. Good morning, Randy. Jeremy, who came up on the panel yesterday. Good morning, good morning. Who else do we have out there? We have International Trading, Justin, Truck Tour. Good morning. So today's episode is just going to be kind of a free for all. We're going to kind of there not a whole lot to discuss in the news and the markets. I think the biggest thing I saw overnight was Kash Patel, the new FBI director, getting confirmed, and it appears the SEC is going to suspend their investigation or charges into Coinbase. It just has to get a panel approval. And it looks like those charges will be dropped. So we can go ahead and start diving into that if you want, Bob, or we can go ahead and start covering what you were doing over the last couple of days. I'll let you choose on which direction you want to take the show.
It's like pick your own storybook, right?
Absolutely.
I think with the SEC stuff, maybe we could start out there. I think that a lot of us have been watching this stuff for a long time, and I'll just say this is just another step in deregulation. And so if you buy into the whole choke point 2.0 narrative, which I do, so I've seen it firsthand. I think this is just part of what's to come. So we're seeing it in the SEC. I think we'll see it in other financial regulators, and as different entities push for deregulation, I think we'll see it happen. It would be good to get some clear regulations though on the books so that traditional financial institutions and fintechs alike can develop products to make this space something that is so much easier to work in. If you don't have the guardrails, a lot of innovation will be stifled because people are still carrying through how they're afraid to be sued or to be taken to court by regulators. And so I think this is just it's good news. Although I'm not like a huge fan of Coinbase, I've seen, and this is maybe off topic, but I've seen too many people go there thinking they're going to go buy Bitcoin and they end up buying some other piece of garbage because of the bright shiny lights at the Coinbase casino. So as happy as it makes me to see some of this deregulation happen, Coinbase probably isn't the best place for everybody to go. So I'll leave it there and would love to hear your thoughts, Coleman.
Yeah, so there's a lot to dissect with that. I think you're right, though. There has to be some kind of regulation and rules for everybody. And it's unfortunate because right now there was very little guidance and nobody knew. And I think if you had someone that was going to be legitimate or was going to create a project, again, I think everything outside of Bitcoin is absolute trash. But if you're going to get an honest company to come in there and develop something, they might have been really hesitant to do so because I'm sure they were going to be sued or prosecuted by the SEC. and the ones that knew that they were just complete crap and they didn't care about any of the consequences were the ones that just continued to push through. And I think that's why you saw so much of this trash kind of ongoing. So I think they had to go ahead and drop these charges, especially because Coinbase holds, I don't know what percentage of all the ETFs that are out there. So they definitely had to make sure that that got dropped just for, I guess, for a perspective approach. But I do think that they have to make the rules, like you said, and make sure that everybody's playing the game fairly. Again, do not go to Coinbase, Bitcoin only. Always recommend Strike or River. Those are my two go-tos. You can't go wrong with either. But at the end of the day, there has to come to a point where you need to take self-custody of that. And I'll still be adamant about controlling your own keys. As much as I trust River and Strike, again, that's just it. I have to trust them. And that's the whole point of Bitcoin. There's no trust involved. You take care of it yourself. So go to ColdCard, get yourself a hardware wallet. That's my go-to. It's all open source. NVK does amazing things there. There is a link up in the nest to go ahead and utilize if you want to go ahead and purchase one. MK4, ColdCard Q, you really can't go wrong with that. So again, if you're just new to this, reach out to us at the Bitcoin Veterans handle or go to our website, bitcoinveterans.org, fill out that connect form, reach out to us and we'll point you in the right direction. Again, we have hundreds of veterans within our community who are all extremely knowledgeable with this and happy to help guide you through any of that. And really quick, if you are in the Houston area, there will be a Northeast Houston meetup, 7 p.m. on Thursday, February 27th. If you're in Northeast Houston, give me, myself, Coleman, a message here on X and I will give you the details. And I hope that you can, I hope you can make it out.
So Coleman, maybe it'd be helpful for the audience, just to hear why, a little bit more in detail, why, so many of us are Bitcoin only and altcoins are, not something that are going to hold value over the long term. And so I'll just share with, and maybe this is a good segue to into, I guess, what I was doing this week, earlier in the week. But a lot of times I'm sitting down with folks and explaining what Bitcoin is, what the opportunity is, why, you know, Bitcoin is important. But inevitably what comes up is, you know, is Bitcoin going to be the only one, or is there others out there, or are there others out there? And certainly there are others, but one of the ways that I explain it simply to people, and this might help you if you're in the audience and you're sharing with other people Bitcoin and they bring up other cryptocurrencies, or maybe for you, if you don't have this understanding, maybe this will help you have more of a picture into what Bitcoin is versus all the other cryptocurrencies. Really, it comes down to studying the history of money. Now, some people's eyes might glaze over, but I think this is very simple and may help you understand. So, you know, usually when money in history has been adopted, you have a few fringe people who use this money, the new money, as and they have it, and it's really considered a collectible. And that's kind of where money's start out. And then they move to store of value. And so store of value is really what Bitcoin solves right now. And then it moves to kind of at the same time, usually, or pretty close, unit of account and medium of exchange. So that means people are thinking and measuring their wealth in it. And they're also transferring, you can basically spend it anywhere. And so what's happened is you have Bitcoin, who's come on the scene 16 years ago and has solved that store of value problem. And it's still in that stage where we're adopting this new money and people are coming along, and we've moved past the collectible stage and gotten into store of value. And it still solves that value today because it's the hardest thing, hardest money to create. And so,
hey Bob, I think you,
yeah,
you still there?
Yep. Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, sir. You cut off for about 5 seconds.
Okay, so Bitcoin is the hardest money to create. And so we still have this store of value adoption phase that we're in. And what a lot of the altcoins have purported to do is to be a better Bitcoin, a better technology, a better medium of exchange. A better medium of exchange. And so the issue is that they've skipped past the store of value phase. And so they may have faster transactions. They may be able to do things faster than Bitcoin. But the issue is that they've skipped the store of value. And so what you see is essentially flashes in the pan. You don't have widespread adoption. You see illiquid markets. You see not many trading pairs. And when the bottom falls out of these altcoins, a lot of people lose value. And so, I'll kind of stop there, but I really want to get across is that altcoins fundamentally have skipped a stage in money adoption, and they're not solving the store of value problem that is completely done by Bitcoin. And I don't think even most altcoiners who love the tech that they purport to provide would even go against that or say something against that. And so over the long term, Bitcoin is the best. And if you're trying to, you know, solve that store of value problem, and I think that is the biggest problem with the money. And so that is why, personally, I have adopted Bitcoin and encourage others to start doing so, not saving in the inferior money. So I'll pause there. I have other things to say about that, but maybe you had other comments or maybe that brought up some other ideas for you, Coleman.
Yeah, so that was really well said, Bob. And I just want to give this opportunity for anybody in the audience. If you want to come up here on the panel and speak about this, you're more than welcome to. If you've been listening to the show, you can see that we're pretty easygoing. We only have two rules, just no shitcoining and just respect everybody else. But if you'd like to come up here, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. But the biggest thing I take away from Bitcoin and everything else is that Bitcoin is the only one, no matter what happens, it requires some kind of work, some kind of effort to go ahead and secure it. Everything else can be minted out of thin air, and it can be distributed to anybody who has a connection. And that's just not how things in life or the universe work by. Everything requires some sort of energy to go ahead and secure it, whether it's your food, whether it's your work, when you go to your job, you have to put forth some kind of energy effort to go ahead and utilize it. And that's what makes Bitcoin so different. Everything else, again, it's minted out of everything. There is zero proof of work. And I've been thinking about this for a while. I think it was when we had the gentleman from my first Bitcoin, John Dennehy, come up, and he was talking about what was going on in El Salvador and how the IMF came through, Bukele conceded to their demands, and Bitcoin is no longer mandatory to accept it in the country. And he was speaking about how a lot of people were abandoning it and how resorting back to just the old ways. And I think this is a really good example of proof of work versus proof of stake. Bukele did the proof of work. He learned, he studied it, and look what he's done in the country through his efforts. The crime, the tourism, everything is improving. The citizens' lives, they improved, but they didn't do the work to understand Bitcoin. They were more of just a proof of stake system where they were just inherited this and they didn't really understand what was going on. And it is unfortunate because they didn't put that time in. Once an opportunity came to go to something else that might be more convenient for them, because it's easier to transact with outside of Bitcoin, they made that switch. And I know I'm going a little bit tangent here, but I think this is my fear with the strategic Bitcoin reserve that's getting pushed on the national level. I don't think people are really going to understand it. And that's why we as Bitcoin veterans, as listeners of the show, and just Bitcoiners in general, have to really make a big push to orange pill our friends, our family, our local businesses. If we can go ahead and start onboarding these people, these groups, these businesses, it'll ensure that Bitcoin is going to thrive and succeed here in the United States. If we go ahead and skip that step and directly go to the national level, I don't think it's going to be as successful as we think it's going to be. And it skips that proof of work step. So if I talked in a circle, it didn't make a lot of sense. I'm sorry. I was just kind of what I've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks. But we do have Bitcoin for Presidents up here. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I like to look at them as certificates of appreciation, and Bitcoin is the best to keep your certificates in. And U.S. is going to be the last to figure it out as far as people-wise, because we are the benefits of exorbitant privilege, unfortunately. So it's hard to orange pill your family and friends, especially my family and friends. It's been a struggle, to say the least.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's something that is misunderstood by a lot of people. Because once you've seen Bitcoin and what it is, and you know, you want to share it with people, and it's so frustrating to, try to distill down these ideas and get people to wake up and see Bitcoin for what it really is, especially when in their mind, there is no problem to be solved. And what's really frustrating is that some people are just asleep and they don't understand that there is actually a problem.
Yeah, I agree. I have been studying money in general most of my life through books, and my family knows that and they still don't listen to me. But I was a stock junkie before Bitcoin. 2021 GameStop, wrecked my paradigm. Now I'm stuck in the new one. No going back.
Yeah, if I can, Coleman, one other thing I was going to share with people just along the lines of thinking with Bitcoin versus everything else, I would encourage everybody to look up, when you have time, the blockchain trilemma. So this is this idea where if you put three important parts of, and sorry to use the term, a blockchain in a triangle. Okay. And so think of this blockchain trilemma. You have, three points of a triangle, and it's all divided up by three important, functions. And the first one is decentralization. And so, this money is decentralized, which is very important. You have security. So is it secure? And then the other one is scalability. And so what Bitcoin does perfectly is balance security, decentralization, and scalability. And when people come along and they see, oh, Bitcoin can only settle 7 transactions per second, they say, well, that's not scalable. That's not going to work for 8.5 billion people, or eventually 10 billion people. And so what the altcoins try to do is scalability. And what ends up happening is you sacrifice either decentralization or security. And so we see that a lot with a lot of these altcoins that are, moving value faster than Bitcoin. They're sacrificing decentralization. And, a lot of them will try to make arguments that they do have validators, multiple validators and decentralization. But what's interesting is every once in a while, something will get stuck, or they'll have to be rebooted. Or for those of us of age, you'll have to take the Nintendo cartridge out, blow on it, maybe put some rubbing alcohol on it and plug it back in. So, if you want to have a network to move value, you can't be doing that. You can't have, something where, you have to mess with it to fix it. I mean, that just screams, centralization. And so, So I think if you study that trilemma and you see how Bitcoin perfectly balances decentralization, scalability, and security, it's the choice. And more people are seeing it. That doesn't mean that there won't be people out there trying to monkey with that balance and try to say, hey, we're going to go out and market this as doing something much better than Bitcoin. But again, there's trade-offs and there's sacrifices, and that's why those altcoins are flashes in the pan. They're not going to be long lasting. Again, they're passing over the sort of value phase in money adoption. And this is why Bitcoiners say we need to have low time preference. Like, this is going to take time. Adoption takes time, and we don't need to move on to the medium of exchange right now, because Bitcoin is solving that store of value problem, and it does it perfectly through decentralization, security, and scalability.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Bob. And I think if you said it earlier, I apologize that I missed it, but the biggest thing is that it is decentralized. There is no one that they can go to and tell them, hey, go ahead and change this. Go ahead, do this. Hey, you know that Coleman character? I don't really agree with what he's been posting on X. Go ahead and limit his transaction. There is nothing about that. It's literally the only thing that you truly own and nobody can take from you, as long as you're holding it yourself in self-custody. So that is one of the biggest things. And that cannot be said with any of the other coins, shitcoins, altcoins, whatever you want to call it. So again, Bitcoin is just better money. It's better for you. And invest your time in something that nobody can confiscate. I think it's Jack Mahler's that says, why I never want to save my money or work for my money that someone can print for free or something like that. I definitely screwed up that. But it's right, Bitcoin only. And I think that we're getting closer to being able to run on a Bitcoin-only standard. I tried it out with Fold for about 2 months, and it was a little bit inconvenient, a little cumbersome. And Strike has recently released a bill pay feature with their platform, and I have to give it to Strike. It is flawless. It is seamless. They do everything on the back end. There's literally all I have to do is just input my information, and it's done. Where with Fold, I had to go in there manually and make sure I converted my Bitcoin into fiat when I knew that the bills were going to get paid. So hats off to Jack with Strike. And if you haven't used it yet, I think it's very interesting on how we're able to integrate that with this bill pay feature. We have Texas Toast up here on the panel. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to hype on that decentralization piece. Is also, like, that's the reason it's the only thing that's viable at a nation state or sovereign level as well. So these people, you know, everybody's talking about these strategic reserves and everything else. Maybe XRP is going to be in it. Maybe all this other crap is going to be in it. But they don't have that decentralization piece that makes it, you know, all the sovereign, gives the sovereigns warm and fuzzies where they can, you know, they can balance, settle their debts in this. They can do all kinds of things in this. And nobody can stop them. And so that's just a huge point on why it's kind of the only one that can really be used at scale at the sovereign level as well. So it's a huge, huge part of it.
You're absolutely right. And you had President Putin come out last month and make that statement where nobody can stop Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. And if you were unaware, Russia was sanctioned and kicked off the SWIFT payment system. And so having a statement like that being made by the president of their country is a pretty big deal. So again, that's why we Bitcoin. Nobody can stop you from using it. It's literally, it's your ticket to break free from this system. So again, if you are new to this, please reach out to us. We are more than happy to walk you through and guide you. Bitcoinveterans.org, sign up and get in contact with us. But Bob, do you want to go ahead and start talking a little bit more about what you're doing over the last couple of days?
Yeah, and thanks for the opportunity. you know, I don't like to brag or anything like that. Oh, can you hear me now?
I hear him.
Good deal. I can do a mic check again. Coleman, are you good? Maybe Coleman is having problems with his internet. Sounds like Lisa can hear me, Shane. Okay, good. We get some thumbs up. So, so this week I won't name who it was, but a friend of mine who sometimes joins us on, the show, not, as a listener, but as a, he invited me to actually speak to a university that, if people are familiar, a few years ago, 2021, the NCAA started, this NIL program. So it's name, image, likeness. And so that is, gives students the ability to actually get paid for their name, image, and likeness. And so a lot of people look at it different ways, but, you know, people say the NCAA was taking advantage of these kids, and this program provides a way for students to actually get compensated for their abilities prior to hitting the professional level. And so what sprung up at many universities were NIL nonprofits to kind of facilitate, helping recruit students that, you know, were good at, very good at their sport that they played. And so they, they'll basically create contracts and, help basically get them, advertising gigs. And so you have local, businesses who are willing to contribute and then pay for, these students to do promotional videos, make appearances, so on and so forth. And so, so this started, about 4 years ago, and I think it went live, 2 years ago. And, so I was invited to a major university to speak about the opportunity for this university's NIL program to set themselves apart by accepting donations in Bitcoin, number one, but number two, then using those donations to not cash them in dollars, but actually then use this to offer in their contracts compensation to students partially in Bitcoin. And so lots of education. Some of the stuff I said earlier, you know, at the beginning about Bitcoin versus everything else are come up, some of the topics. And so, it was exciting. And I think what's interesting is how different people are looking to use Bitcoin to their advantage, right? To set themselves apart. And so if you think about these young people who are coming in, you know, some of them probably don't know about Bitcoin, but when you see players in the NFL like Russell Okung, and Saquon Barkley, some of these other guys who are trying to get their contracts in Bitcoin, this could become a trend, especially when you consider, a lot of the, compensation that students are already getting, like free tuition, books, room and board, they're not going to need the money for a while. And so holding some in Bitcoin is probably better than getting all that compensation in dollars and letting that melt away. I'll pause there, but I had a really fun time talking to these guys and educating them, and then kind of exploring creatively, like what they can do with it.
Oh, go ahead, Shane, and good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I think this is awesome. Bob, I'm curious as to kind of the sentiment in the room with these young people that are, you know, maybe hearing about this for the first time. It's got to be, I imagine, a little bit of a mixed bag, but I also think that, you know, I'm curious as to, you know, how it went and really the reaction.
Yeah, you know, there's different parts of these NIL programs. So they have a foundation, and then they have kind of their operating entity. And there was a gentleman well into his 60s, probably looking at retirement, who was less open-minded at the beginning. And by the end, I think I had him eating out of the palm of my hand, not trying to brag or anything, but it was a great conversation. He gave probably the most pushback. But it was really good because for the other, for the president and the CEO, who are in the room, from this organization, you could really see their wheels turning. And, what was interesting to me is, you know, you don't always go way into the weeds on this stuff, but when I explained how we know that there's 21 million Bitcoin in, you know, eventually, and how it's a known issuance and how mining works. And again, not going too complicated, but just explaining, the issuance of 50 Bitcoin every 10 minutes as a reward to the first miners and then how it halves. And then we actually even got into the difficulty adjustment. And so, if you can keep that concise and simple, once people see that issuance, then they're like, wow, this all makes sense. And so what the best part of it for me was that everybody in the room, you could see the light bulb go off for them, that it was kind of demystifying all of this other garbage that they had in their minds about it, whether it came from, you know, news over the last 16 years, or just what they thought they knew about, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and how they had, like, you know, put everything together into one bucket and said, yeah, this isn't for me. Well, another thing that was interesting, a topic that comes up a lot when I talk to groups about this is, the fact that, you know, they're like, well, why wouldn't we just, buy stocks? You know, if you're saying that they're going to print more money and all assets are going up, why wouldn't we just go with the sure thing? And so when you show the chart of M2 money supply, the percentage that it goes up is nearly equivalent with what the S&P 500 performance is in that time frame. And they start to get it. Like, you need something outside the system that is growing at a compound annual growth rate of 60% a year so far. I'm not saying Bitcoin is going to continue to do that, but the numbers don't lie. And so when you start showing people the data and the facts and getting them to realize that money creation is the enemy and that it has to continue to go on because the math doesn't work anymore for how much debt that we're saddling ourselves with, then people really start to understand, like, Maybe I don't get this, or maybe I wouldn't invest in it, or maybe I wouldn't use this, but I can see why people are. And so what I really challenge people with is, whatever you guys think about Bitcoin is fine. You're free to have this, you know, this view, but what you have to consider is that there's a lot of other people out there who are looking at this seriously, trying to understand it. And they're coming to the conclusion that Bitcoin is the best place for their savings, for their long-term savings. And so don't bet on what I'm telling you. Just look at the results, right? Look at the adoption curve. Look at how people are thinking about this. And so you're free to stay closed-minded, or small-minded, and think things are going to just stay the way that they always were. And you're going to live your comfortable little life with your nice 401k that, you know, seemingly makes you feel richer every day. But there's a reality to the fact that you're stuck in this system. And so I try to give people a good mix of truth, but not hit them too hard, and then stay away from topics that is outside of most people's Overton window, right? Like, where people, if you go too far off, then they kind of glaze over and they're not listening anymore. And so I really try to keep it very simple, and I try to keep it within a normal person who hasn't studied all this stuff for years in their frame of reference, and so that they can understand. So I'll pause there and happy to kind of chat on that. Maybe you guys want to pick apart some of what I said there, or you have questions.
Yeah, no, I'd just like to compliment, you know, what you've done there. You know, for a long time, I had to kind of talk to people about, you know, what their government was doing. And, I think in the beginning of doing this kind of stuff, I was way too far outside that Overton window for most people, to digest that. So Bob, I think that's an excellent, point that you make when you're talking to people about Bitcoin. Understand that you guys have all been down rabbit holes after rabbit hole after rabbit hole. And you've maybe been doing this for years and years and years, while most people who have never heard of, you know, or understand Bitcoin, they haven't. And a lot of this challenges their entire worldview, which is, you know, obviously built on a ton of lies. And that's the one thing that people don't want to be, is they don't want to be a dupe. They don't want to be somebody's sucker. And if you can help people go back to a time, and this is kind of what I've found is, you know, if you can help people go back to a time and understand that, hey, guys, like you were indoctrinated with weapons grade, you know, indoctrination at some point. And I'm not saying you have to do this for Bitcoin, but that's kind of that saddle right there where you kind of, you know, cross that Rubicon. But I think Bob is absolutely, you know, doing it exactly the right way. You got to meet people where they're at, and you got to talk their language, and you can't scare them. It's like, you know, feeding baby birds. If you feed baby birds too much, you know, they throw up. So it's just the right amount. And good job, Bob. I just highly complimentary this morning. It's a great thing to be able to do. And, you know, for a group of young people and, you know, obviously some older people that knew a little bit more about, you know, stocks and the market and everything else. That's a huge win, I think.
Yeah. And I think like, so where I usually will start it off, especially when I'm with a group of people, I think that it's important simply to point out to people, they all know that there's a problem with the debt, the national debt. But most people just haven't really thought it through. And so it's not a knock on people. It's just we've been, busy with our lives trying to keep in this hamster wheel and trying to make, you know, fiat so that we can keep pace with, the rising costs of everything. And so people have families, they're interested in all kinds of different things, whether it's in this case, sports, obviously, the guys I was talking to. But I think like people are distracted and they don't necessarily know. There's so much information thrown at everyone that they don't necessarily know how much like this impacts them and their future and everybody around them. And so I think just simply pointing out, like I like to do this at the beginning, is to just explain what problem Bitcoin solves and keep it real simple, that because of our insurmountable debt, the math doesn't work anymore, and we are going to have to print money in order to service that debt. And so what are the implications of printing money? It just means that you have more dollars chasing the same amount of goods and services in the economy, which makes those things more expensive. Or you can look at it another way and say the purchasing power of the dollar goes down, right? Because there's no extra productivity when they hit the button to print more money. So if you can explain that very concisely to someone right at the beginning of any conversation, they understand, oh, there is a problem. I didn't know what it was. You're not insulting me. Like, we're all a part of this and we've been talking about it for years. We just never really concluded what the actual problem or implication was for us. We just thought, oh, the government's big enough, they can just keep on doing it forever and it's not going to be a problem. That's subliminally, I can't even say the word, what people thought, and what people think. And so they don't go, you know, to the nth degree. And so it's not too far of a step to explain that to people. And then once you do, then you can very easily say, so the idea, it's maybe you don't understand this yet, but the idea is more and more people are seeing Bitcoin as a solution to that problem. Why? Because there is this auditable ledger that proves every 10 minutes that there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be in existence. And so that's very simple. So it's very clear for people to see, look, unlimited money that's coming into the economy, chasing the same amount of goods and services versus a fixed supply of Bitcoin. And what's interesting is people are more interested now and open-minded, one, because they've seen The cost of things go up so much, especially lately. And two, Bitcoin has hit 100,000. So at one point, right, or about 100 points in time, it's hit 100,000 as it's gone back and forth here across the 100,000 mark. But people are more open-minded to it than ever before. And so if you can explain that very simply to people, then the rest of what you talk about really comes back to that at the end. So I kind of start things with that explanation, and then we go on any other topic they want to talk about, anything that, you know, they don't understand, some technical things, whatever it would be. And at the end, my question is always, really what this comes down to is what we started the conversation out with. You're either betting by saving in dollars, you're betting that the Congress, politicians, the government is going to have austerity measures and cut benefits to everyone when they haven't done it in the last 40, 50 years, or you're going to bet that they're going to have to continue those spending, overspending, fiscal deficits year after year after year, like we've seen for the last half a century. And you're saving in Bitcoin, which is the hardest money to create. And so what is interesting is when you keep it that simple and you lead off with it, it gets a conversation going, and it doesn't insult people. It's not too far out of their worldview. And you can fill in anything you need to in between, because everybody comes at this from a different perspective. You can fill in any of those things. And at the end, when you circle back around to the fact that money printing is inevitable and there is only a finite supply of Bitcoin, that is how you orange pill people. Whether it doesn't matter if they're financial advisors, who I meet with all the time too, if it's bankers, if it's people who are running NIL programs at universities, if it's I've talked to people who do land development, real estate development all the time. It doesn't matter what industry, if you're at dinner with friends, like, that's where it all has to start and that's where it all has to end. And you have to challenge people in their mind to make that decision, to say, you're betting one way or the other. Even if you don't know the topic, you're voting, by saving in dollars. And, if you want to ignore me, that's fine. I'm still your friend. But the thing is like, there's a reality to this, and more people, whether you like it or not, or whether you believe anything that I'm saying, more and more people, the fact is, more and more people are adopting Bitcoin because it solves this problem, which is the store of value problem. And that's it. It's very simple. You can fill in anything else in between and answer anybody's questions in between if they have them. And you can also kind of opt out of trying to sell this to someone forever, like tell them more and more information until they finally get it. You don't have to do that. You can just start with the facts, end with the facts, and fill in between if they have questions. And it makes it very easy. And you can walk away saying, hey, I gave them the information they needed to make a decision. And beyond that, it's up to them. I can't hold anybody down and make them buy Bitcoin. So I'll pause there.
Absolute fire, Bob and Shane. Great points. And again, meet people where they're at. They're kind of an inside joke within the panel here, but don't use the boat analogy for everybody. It's not going to be relevant. You got to figure out what's going to get them fired up. But really quick, I do want to say thank you to our partners, Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com, Punch Plate, take control of your keys, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate, go to punchplate.com, Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com, and Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Use the code BTC Vets for 5% off. Pay with Bitcoin, get an additional 10% off, so you can get potential for 15% off your order. Solosatoshi.com. And I got to warn you, it's addicting. You buy one, you're going to have two, and then three, and then four, and they're going to be all over your house. So make sure you get at least one, though. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th in Juneau, family-friendly conference. Bring your spouse, bring your kids, get a one-way ticket because you are not going to want to leave Alaska in the summer. It is green. It is bright. It is peaceful. Go to BitcoinAlaska.org, get your tickets and your lodging. Lodging and tickets are going to sell out very quick. You've only got a couple more weeks before, especially with lodging, is going to become a big deal. So please go to BitcoinAlaska.org. And I said it at the beginning of the show, but treat your Bitcoin like it's worth 10 times what it is today. Do not keep it on an exchange. Secure your own Bitcoin, not your keys, not your coins. Click the link up in the nest for your Cold Card MK4 or Cold Card Q. They are the best hardware wallets out there. They are very easy to use. There are hundreds of videos online to show you how to incorporate this and set up your own wallet. Please use that link up in the nest. We've got a couple more people using it. We can have our own unique discount code. So we got about 10, 12 minutes left. I do want to say good morning to Miss Lisa. She is up here. It's been a while since we've talked to you. Good morning, ma'am. How have you been?
Hey guys. Good morning. Doing well. Thank you. I know. I don't know why I keep missing the show. It's my favorite hour of the day. How's everybody?
Oh, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm doing good. It's a little cold. I'm ready for a little warmer weather. I know in my profile picture, I have a beard full of ice and snow. That's not ideal, Coleman. Coleman likes the 70s. That's kind of my perfect range of temperature. So anytime it gets down just around freezing, I don't really like that. The Canadian blood in me is definitely thickened up, and I don't really like the cold.
I'm right there with you. It could be a little warmer here today. I think it's supposed to be warm again this weekend, though.
Yeah, I think so. It's down south in Texas, so the weather changes every couple of minutes. I think it's menopausal.
Hey, now, let's not go there. Let's keep it clean.
For those of you who don't know, Miss Lisa is going to be up at Bitcoin Alaska as a speaker. Do you have the topic that you're going to be talking about already planned out, Lisa?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to brush up my national security, how it relates to Bitcoin, why it's really important that we are educating energy companies, helping them kind of get on the Bitcoin train through understanding off-grid mining and what that does to protect, you know, the future of the network. If there was some sort of, I have two beliefs. I have a belief that the exchanges encounter some problems along the way, and B, that our grids encounter some problems along the way. And so I think we all need to take steps to protect ourselves. And I think one of the ways that we protect the Bitcoin network is through off-grid mining. So I'm going to be bringing those pieces together. It's the kind of the conversation I have when I talk to energy companies, and it seems to resonate. It allows them to deprogram the awful malware that, some of the people that have been in control of the press have put out there about Bitcoin. So, anyway, yeah, so that's what I love to talk about. I think it helps people become more grounded, have a different take on the Bitcoin network than Bitcoin is an asset and the number's just going higher. I mean, all that may be true, but as you guys know, and lots of other folks, find interesting is just how do we protect the network? How do we protect the network and ensure that this, ensure that it protects our children and our families for generations to come?
Yeah, 100%. How can we make sure this goes on for our future generations? I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing you speak. And just looking forward to kind of doing everything outside the conference. Are you going to get there early and go to Range Day, Lisa?
I will be there, I think, for a week. So yes, I'm planning on attending, all of the side events. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be traveling with, my good friend Lynn Bearstow and, you know, we are making a vacation out of the Alaska opportunity. Actually, I think I'll be in Alaska twice this summer. There's an energy conference taking place in June that I got asked to speak at, and then I'll be back for the Bitcoin Veterans Alaska Jubilee, all the good people gathering in July. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to spend some time up there. I might not come back. Sam, good morning, sir. I have you up here. I'd like to get your view and your points of the vote that's going to be taking place here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, good morning, Coleman. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Sorry that I wasn't able to make it to the on Austin on Tuesday. My kid just got that nasty flu that was going through, and so we've been hunkered down at the house.
No worries, man. I just wanted to jump on and say thanks to everybody that showed up. Lisa was there. I'm trying to look through all the names, so I apologize if I'm missing anybody else who showed up at the Capitol building on Tuesday. But I do think it was a historic day. It was kind of interesting to watch, you know, elected officials, politicians get orange-pilled in real time, and to see them start making connections that, you know, those of us who are orange-pilled, you know, we might not say, oh, I've never made that connection before, or hey, that's a basic one. But, you know, if you just go back in your Bitcoin journey and just remember what it was like to start making those, you know, neural connections in your brain on why Bitcoin matters, and watching someone do it in real time was fun. You know, one of the senators, when she finally realized that a multi-signature wallet was like, you know, the multiple keys in the nuclear football, that's what her comment was. She goes, oh, it's like the nuclear football. And everybody chuckled, but it was like, yeah, it was whatever analogy works for you to start making those connections is important. And I just will communicate, it's, you know, the objective at a governmental level is just to make small wins, because those small wins compound. And, you know, it's almost like there's a Bitcoiner who wrote a book about making gradual progress and then suddenly things happen. But, so that is the objective. And so one of the big wins is the chairman of the Banking and Commerce Committee. If you go back and watch the replay, he gave an introduction, just kind of speech, but it wasn't read. Some of it was read, but a lot of it was just off the cuff. And it was as good as any Bitcoin advocacy speech that I've heard anybody give, especially someone who's elected representative. And so basically what that means is that if he's orange-pilled, he's not the only one at the state government. And if he's not the only one at the state government right now, we have another set of elections in 2 years, and we have another opportunity to look for the term at the governmental level is pro-digital asset candidates. That's the safe term to kind of get it passed through, but it's pro-Bitcoin candidates. And so we are making progress, and that's the good news. The other good news is that, according to the Texas Blockchain Council, who has, basically been steering this bill, that it's going to get voted out of committee to the Senate floor next week. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody. I'm going to be posting a link in the chat to sign up to be a part of if you're a Texan, to be a part of the, SBR ambassador program, because there's different grassroots efforts required at different stages of a bill. And so kind of the next phase of it is, what do we do when it's on the House floor getting debated? Is there any work that we can do now contacting our personal representatives to let them know, hey, this bill's coming up? So that's going to be some of the next steps, but I'm a volunteer for the TBC, not getting paid to do any of this. Just doing it because I like Texas, love Texas, and love Bitcoin. And so the objective here is, I'm transparently saying thank you to everybody who showed up, and once again asking you to sign up for this ambassador program so that we can make sure that the voice is heard. Because one thing that was great is that committee room was packed with Bitcoiners. And I don't know if you follow Comptroller Hager, but Comptroller Hager is probably, I don't know, top four most influential person in Texas, in the Texas government. And he came to the committee hearing, which is a huge signal, and he was well prepared. He was well prepared on the topic, and that was very encouraging. But if on his Twitter page, he posted a picture of how packed the meeting room was, and he even commented on how packed it was. Comptroller Hager was in another committee meeting later that day in the House regarding property taxes, which is a huge issue in Texas. And I'm pretty sure there was almost nobody at that committee hearing. So once again, showing up at the Capitol works, grassroots advocacy does work. And just as a reminder to the citizens, the committee hearing schedules are published online. You don't have to get permission. You can just show up at the Capitol and talk to your elected representatives. It's not something to be afraid of. This is your right as a Texas citizen to just show up and make your voice heard and steer the agenda. That's part of our job, is to be the grassroots DOGE advocacy people who are making sure that that they're not only following the Texas Constitution, but in many cases, they should just probably keep their hands out of whatever business is being discussed in a bill. Most of the time, the question is not, hey, is this a good bill? Most of the time, the question is, should the government even be doing this? And that's what our job as citizens is, to show up and just make sure that even if they make a bad decision, that we are on the record letting them know that there's grassroots people willing to show up at the Capitol. So, sorry for the ramble, Coleman. Just wanted to plug it out there. I'll put it in the chat. Appreciate everybody on Tuesday, and looking forward to kind of the next steps here on the bill.
Yeah, Sam, thanks. And not to diminish anything that you guys did, but they even let people with Girl Scout, like old men with Girl Scout cookies, up to talk. So I think, you know, anybody can do it, and obviously having a lot of support there. If you watched, there were some kooks that wanted to speak against the bill, which I thought was interesting. Their arguments were pretty stale and moldy, in my opinion. I don't think they had much sway over the committee. So interested to hear your thoughts on that, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, so I was sitting next to those guys in my testimony, and I wanted to jump in and debunk everything, but I kind of realized that they were doing a perfectly fine job debunking themselves. And so we didn't really interject. And then plus I knew Pierre Richard was coming up after me. And so any type of, after effects, I was pretty confident he could probably do a better job speaking technical than I could. But yeah, that is correct. And I almost interjected because every time I've run into that before, Bob, it's always somebody who's just trying to sell you some altcoin that they're developing. So anytime someone's bad mouthing that Bitcoin has, you know, the wrong encryption standards, that there's quantum computing risks, and that there's, like I said, some word salad, it's always, okay, and then what altcoin are you about to sell me that's a better solution for this problem that you're trying to solve? So that was the case there. We looked at their website later, and 100% they're pumping some protocol that they're trying to build themselves.
Yep. Sam, what I loved though about that whole interchange, to your point, is like you didn't need to hop in there and debunk anything that they said, because they were doing an excellent job of proving themselves to be galactically stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, and one of the senators even looked at that guy and addressed the guy that was on the end and said, I didn't understand anything that you just said. And it's like, yeah, exactly. Right. If people are going to make comments where it is so difficult, you know, he used every word, Department of Defense, NSA, quantum computing, yada, yada. Like it was such garbage. And what I loved was when then Pierre did get up there, the senators seemed to start deferring to Pierre for like, Pierre was the truth meter.
Absolutely.
So, if anybody, if you haven't seen that, like go watch the testimonials. because you will get an enormous laugh. I actually want to go back and just do the transcript of the word salad those kids said, because they just...
Well, my favorite part, Lisa, after that was when one of the senators on the committee said, get us your credentials, after the meeting. Like, you know, it's kind of like putting him in his place. Like, who are you to come up here and throw all these big words? We need a glossary and, send us your credentials. Like, who are you? So it was kind of funny that he put him in his place. I laughed at that one.
Yeah. And if anybody's out there, have you ever run into that? It's, those people are smart, but I think what the real symptomatic is that you have someone who does have a higher than normal IQ and ability to maybe understand some technical jargon, but their ego makes them believe that their IQ is way higher than it actually is. So they're already smart, but they think they're way smarter than they actually are. And that puts people in a really risky spot where they do dumb things like that.
Well, thank you, Sam, for coming up here and sharing that. And just to confirm, you said it should be voted on next week.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. I'll be, you know, pumping out information to the any of the ambassadors that are in that program. That's my way to direct access and just pump out information. So, and on my Twitter or X, I'll be, you know, reposting what the Texas Blockchain Council posts. But that's what I'm told.
Perfect. I look forward to seeing the results of that vote. And I threw up in the nest, I saw you threw it in the comments as well, but up in the nest, there's the sign up for the ambassador program. So if you're in Texas and want to do it, the link is up there for you to sign up. So again, thank you so much, Sam.
Yeah, thanks, Coleman. Y'all have a great week.
Yeah, same to you. So we're at the top of the hour. I'm just going to go around the horn and see Texas, Bob, Shane, or Lisa. Do you have anything else you'd like to go ahead and talk on? Anything that we should be made aware of before we close up for the weekend?
I was just going to kind of go back to maybe summarizing some of the stuff I said. And maybe one of the takeaways for people is if you're not having success orange pilling people, and you do have those conversations and you're getting frustrated, maybe consider a different approach and keeping it simple, making sure that you're meeting people where they are. And there's ways to do that without carrying on too long where you're going to lose people because you've gone outside of their purview or their worldview. I think the big thing is, don't chase people away. Keep it simple, stupid, and meet people where they're at, and then fill in between.
I couldn't agree with that more, Bob. Keep it simple and meet them where they're at, and just remember they're not going to remember everything you said, but they are going to remember the way that you delivered that message. So always carry that in a positive tone. Don't belittle people for not understanding it. I'm sure that there was some point in your Bitcoin journey where you didn't really believe what you were being told. So just keep that in mind. Patience is the key to this. Again, as Bitcoiners, we have a long time horizon. We don't need that instant gratification. So I don't need this person to agree with me right now. As long as I start planting that seed, it'll take and they'll start to understand. So just make sure you keep that in mind. But thank you so much, Bob, for sharing that. And I look forward to seeing how this goes. Shane or Lisa, Texas, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know if you're new to Bitcoin or maybe you're getting around to finally taking your Bitcoin off of an exchange and you're looking to set up cold wallets and you don't really understand this, Bitcoin Veterans would love to help you out. It's just a group of vets that is all about freedom and liberty and making sure that you're holding your own keys. And I got to tell you, I don't know how I ever let anybody else ever hold my wealth. And so for that matter, if you need help and you want to get started, you can go to bitcoinveterans.org and get plugged into the chats over here. You don't have to be a veteran. It's just how we started. So if you need help, go over to bitcoinveterans.org, sign up, and we'll throw you into the chats. And these guys are willing to give their time, their effort, and their energy, which I think is a lot, considering who they are and what they've done. And It is all done for free, so you can't beat that. A lot of places out there are going to charge you an arm and a leg for understanding Bitcoin. Bitcoin Veterans is not. So bitcoinveterans.org. Appreciate everybody coming in, listening, Coleman, Bob, Lisa, and everybody else that's out there. They're just, you know, trying to orange pill the rest of the world, man. Keep it up. This is going, and it seems to be taking off. So I think some pretty interesting times are ahead of us. Great job for everybody, and thanks again.
Yeah, I got one thing to add too. Thank you for all that, Shane and Bob. I posted a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that the refrigerator was broken on the hospice ward floor for the patient food. And one of your frequent listeners here on Bitcoin Veterans, actually two of your frequent listeners here on Bitcoin Veterans, one of whom I've never met in person, reached out to me and said, I'm really good at navigating and getting things to places where they need to be. And between, you know, a handful of us, we were able to kind of navigate the very complex channels that should not be very complex within the Houston VA hospital. And they now have a new refrigerator on the hospice ward for the patient food. So, which is really important, right? Because the families bring food down for their loved ones who are kind of in the last phases of life. And their fridge had been broken since June. The work order was still taped to the door of the old one. So anyway, good things are really, really happening. And it was amazing that some of the folks on the Bitcoin Veterans on this podcast listened and reached out and solved that problem.
Yeah, I gotta give that all to you though, Lisa, for bringing that to our attention. We saw the video, we saw it in the chats, and we made sure that we could do it. So again, if you want to fix things, it starts with each and every one of us. You don't need someone else to tell you to go ahead and do it. If you know that something needs to be done, just go ahead and just start doing it, and you'll be surprised at what that little grain of salt moving downhill, what it will collect and how fast it will start moving. So
yeah,
again.
Sorry, just one other thing on that. You're exactly right. So when I went to Home Depot to get it, because it had to be kind of a strangely sized fridge and whatever. When I walked up and was telling the guy in the appliance department what I was looking for, he kind of gave me this like, well, ma'am, where are you trying to put this? Like, does it have to be this size? And so I explained it to him, you know, this is going to the VA hospital, to the hospice ward. And he just instantly like took on this whole, like, we're going to solve this. We're going to find this. I'm going to get it delivered. We're going to cover the delivery and the pickup. And by the end of the entire transaction, he was actually crying. And it turns out he's an older vet. And he was just like, good luck. Let me know how it goes. And then when I got to the hospital with the delivery truck, you know, 5 days later or whatever, they're not allowed to like park a Home Depot delivery truck in front of the hospital. Right. And so I go and I speak to the security guards that are doing traffic and I explain what we're trying to do and trying to thread this needle and get it up there. And all the security guards like got on team. Veteran, let's look after people. It was incredible how many people were just a part of that entire, I would call it an escapade.
I really do love hearing stories like that, Lisa. So thank you for sharing that. And again, thank you for getting this done. That falls all on your shoulders. So you deserve all of that. So thank you so much. I really look forward to hanging out with you in Juneau, and everyone else should as well. Get your tickets. Come meet us in person. If you're in Northeast Houston, we're having a meetup next Thursday, the 27th at 7 p.m. If you're in the area, reach out to me. I'll send you the details. But that's all I have, everybody. Again, the message for today and every day is go out there and be the change you want to be. It starts local. It doesn't start on a national level. Talk to your friends, your neighbors, your local officials, your local businesses. This is how we orange pill the world. So that is all I have for you. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. If you're in an area that's still really cold, I hope you stay warm and drink lots of bone broth, get your steps in. But please, whatever you do, don't shitcoin. It's like trying to ice skate on sand.